This is the Recency Bias. Welcome to your morning after mini pod on this Thursday. Again, a true morning after mini pod because last night's game started at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And as, I hadn't remembered seeing that. And based on what all the longtime broadcasters and folks who cover the Habs were saying, they'd never seen it either. It was about as late as the Canadians have ever started and therefore finished a game. Finished at about 1:30? Yeah. Did see the whole thing, but wasn't jumping on the mini pod after. That's an extra bit that I wasn't going to do. If you didn't see the whole thing, and somehow you waited for my podcast for the results, they're good. Positive results. Extremely positive results. Probably the most convincing win of the season. Yes, the Habs beat the Jets 7-1 last Saturday, but this 5-1 win in Vancouver was just dominant performance. Really, really dominant performance in every way. The Canadians, they were playing with the Canucks like they were their food last night. It was just ridiculous. Beginning to end, the whole way through, as convincing as it gets. They outshot them 45-24. Time of possession was ridiculous. Power play once again contributed. 1 for 5 on the night, but when you get 5 goals, you're not going to complain about that. Penalty kill was mostly effective. It did give up the low goal, was on the power play for the Canucks, but still. Completely convincing victory, really what you wanted to see. And once again, you know, since Dom Ducharme has taken over, the Canadians have done a really, really good job of getting back to where they were finding success in the early part of the season. Sometimes that didn't work out yet under Ducharme. The team went to overtime or whatever, and they didn't get the full pointage that you would want. But things definitely look much better under Dominique Ducharme than they did as they fell apart under Claude Julien. And the Wednesday night, late night win was probably the most emphatic victory of the season to date. Price versus Demko for this one. Carey Price getting 3 starts for the first time all season. And Carey looked good. He was very solid. Yes, the Habs scored. They hit the old chicken wing mark. But Price was up to it either way. Yet another game where Carey Price's save percentage was north of 950. 958 on the night in the end. He didn't have much work to do in the early going. And we'll get down how the game broke down. But he made the saves when he needed to. And that's what you want from Carey Price. Thatcher Demko coming into this one. He'd been hot, one of the hottest goalies in the NHL for the last week plus. And, you know, the reason that Vancouver felt they could let their previous goalie head off to Calgary in Markstrom and go with Thatcher Demko. They felt he was the guy of the future for them. And he didn't necessarily look like that guy when the Canadians played Demko and the Canucks earlier in the year. But he has been rounding into shape recently. And despite the 5 goals on Wednesday night, he looked really good in this game. There were points in the early going that you were concerned as a viewer that despite the complete onslaught and complete dominance by your Montreal Canadiens, Thatcher Demko might steal one again. Pretty much like he did on Monday evening for a slightly earlier game. But no. The Habs solved him enough, and that was largely because his team left him out to dry. So the big conversation coming into this game was what Dom Ducharme was doing with his lineups. Switching things up. The big line of Tatar, Deneau, and Gallagher, which had been really the one constant, one thing you could rely on for the Canadians these past couple seasons until they struggled this season. Well, that line got broken up. As Tatar and Deneau were joined by Yoel Armia, and Gallagher joined Kotkaniemi and Toffoli on the line. So that was going to be something to watch in this one. Of course, as we were all set to look at these new lines, Duchamp threw a curveball just to start the game with a bit of an energy line that didn't come back together at any point in the game as he sent out Deneau, Anderson, and Byron to start. That was a weird combo, but soon it fell back into the expected of Tatar, Deneau, Armia, Gallagher, Cut, Kanyemi, Toffoli, and then the Suzuki line remained as it was. And through the first 7 minutes, the Habs absolutely owned it. 7-0 were the shots, complete domination. And then the kid who'd been given, I guess, big line responsibilities, though, as we look at time on ice later, it was still apparently the third line when it came to usage. Kotkaniemi would take a boarding penalty. You don't want to see that from the kid, to be honest. He's around the boards. He's throws his weight at a little bit of dangerous time now and again. So I'd like to see that removed from his game. He took 2 minutes for it. Strong penalty kill by the Habs or a very poor power play by the Canucks, however you want to slice it. Canadians survived it. They go on their own power play right after that, and it looked really good. Pretty much did everything but score. And this is when, that was a little bit when I started to worry about, oh no, is Thatcher Demko going to steal this thing for the Canucks? So with 6 minutes and 20 seconds left in the first period, the shot attempts were 22-3 for the Habs. Shot attempts, 22-3. I think the Canucks at that point had 2 actual shots, one of them soft as hell. This is the kind of dominance that was being laid out by the Habs through the first period. Then Sherratt would fight JT Miller for some reason, and as everyone said, that kind of fight, that's what you got to get out of the game. There was seemed to be no reason for it, nothing that lit the fire. The gloves dropped before the puck was even dropped on the faceoff that led to it. And now Ben Sherratt, we're not sure when Ben Sherratt will be back. He hurt his hand on Miller's face, so I guess he also hurt Miller's face. But a dumb fight, completely unnecessary, and Sherratt might be out for a little while because of it. Look, I'm not the biggest Sherratt fan. If we're going to lose one guy from the lineup and it's Ben Sherratt, okay. If somebody's going to do a stupid fight and take themselves out of the game, if that has to happen, it can be Ben Sherratt. And it turned out it didn't really hurt the Habs. 4 minutes, 20 seconds remaining in that first period, and it was the kid. Kotkaniemi, his third of the season. Toffoli and Gallagher were both below the goal line, and they set it up from his knee in the faceoff circle, so pulled back a little bit, the center, with the two wingers going down and doing the work behind the goal line. You saw Kotkaniemi pulled back a little. Toffoli did a nice job to get the puck to him. Yeah, from his knee at the faceoff circle. Bamming in, and it's 1-0 Montreal. Habs would finish that period with late power play. They had some chances, but again, couldn't quite pull the trigger. So it was only 1-0 after 20 minutes while the Habs dominated on the shot chart, 16-4. It didn't take long in the second to take a 2-0 lead just 2 minutes in, and it was Byron to Perry, and Corey Perry, just his great hands. Still doing the work, soft and in, 2-0. For your Canadians. Vancouver going on a power play. Brock Besser. Brock Besser and Bo Horvat. When Pedersen isn't in the lineup, as he wasn't again on Wednesday night for the Canucks. Those are the guys. Brock and Bo. Couple bros in Vancouver. 2-1 at that point. But on their fourth power play of the evening. Their fourth power play of the night. It was a classic. They went back to the classics. Shea Weber, a true cannon. His fifth of the year. His first on the power play in a long time. The first that the Canadians had scored on the power play with Weber on the ice in a long time. Just the day, the very day that in The Athletic there was questions about, is Shea Weber still the guy to be on the power play? He's this fantastic power play weapon, but if you don't know how to use it, and it's not... doesn't do anything for you. Is it even a weapon? I saw our own Ian Boisvert of rabbithabs.com questioning if Weber should still be on the power play. And I'm not saying that's not still a legitimate question after this game. Just saying, for context. On the day many of us were wondering, should Shea Weber still even be on the power play? He reminds us what he can do. like to see a lot more of it. But that was his fifth of the season. It was a nice one. And the continued complete dominance through the game for the Habs after 40 minutes. Yes, they were outshot in the middle period, 12-13. But the shots often lie. And that was an untruth by them in that second period. The Canadiens remained absolutely dominant. It was only the power play, really, for Vancouver that allowed them to get much of anything on Price. They're up 3-1 after 40. Into a late third period. 6 minutes and 36 seconds in it, to be exact. Kotkaniemi, a very nice setup for the undeniable Jeff Petrie. He will not be stopped, playing at a confidence level out of this world, his 10th on the year. I think I said on the last podcast that if it was an 82-game season, he'd be on pace for a 30-goal season. I guess, obviously, I didn't do additional math, but let's say it's now he's on pace for 30-plus. And he had opportunities in the game for a couple more. I think he pinged one off a post at one point. He was shooting. I mean, he's shooting a lot right now and shooting with precision. And this was one of those that was fired with precision past Demko, 4-1. At that point, all we're asking for is some more chicken wings. And you know who would supply them? My gosh, it's been a minute. It's been a year. With just over 6 minutes left, on a nice assist from Edmondson. Yeah, that's right. Edmondson down on the goal line. Kind of left alone. It was a bit of a blown coverage by Vancouver. But you take what they give you. Edmondson took what they gave him. And he gave it to Deneau. And Deneau deposited it for his first of the season. And you could tell, even if after the game in his press conference, Deneau said, I think, you know, that first goal in over a year and the first of the season means a lot more for you guys than it does me. If you could tell from the look on his face and the way that he celebrated it, it meant a lot to him. That was an important one. Just shoveled it past Thatcher Demko. 5-1 Canadiens, that would be your final. 17-7 the shots in that third period. So even with that lead, the Canadiens just kept coming at the Canucks all night long, as I said. One of the most dominant performances of the season. Again, goals from Jesperi Kotkaniemi. He also had an assist on a two-point night for him when he was given what was pseudo first-line responsibilities. And he certainly met those expectations, some doubt, I assume, from other people, but he rose to the challenge and looked like the guy on Wednesday night. Corey Perry with his fourth of the year. Shea Weber's fifth on the season. As I said, Jeffrey Petrie got his 10th. And Phil Danette with his first of the year. Assists to Foley, the only other individual with a two-point night besides Kotkaniemi. So those two going well together. Edmondson with the helper. Armia, Anderson, Evans, Byron, and Drouin all adding apples of their own. So with the line shuffling, question about, what would the time on ice tell us? Because time on ice is probably still your somewhat indicator, factor in power play and penalty kill, but time on ice, somewhat of an indicator of what the first, second, and third lines are. And it stayed chalk for what it's been all season, despite the shuffling. Suzuki led all centers in ice time at 17:43, just about a minute less than that for Deneau, 16:38, and almost 2 minutes less for Kotkaniemi at 14:57. Again, power play and penalty kill were probably the main differentiators in their time on ice, but still, that's where we're at. Kotkaniemi really did have a game, though. Let's not get too carried away. It's not next level yet, but he was put in a big position on Wednesday night, and he rose to it. He kept up. The emphasis there was once again for my dad. He looked good, Bruno. That's what I'm saying. He looked good. He wasn't behind him. He set up some nice goals. Strong night. Kotkaniemi definitely the first star of the evening. Though Carey Price should not be forgotten in his third straight start. Another really solid performance. So everyone can breathe a little, at least for the moment, about the state of Carey Price. He, as the Habs, have gotten their season back on track. And hey, isn't that how it always goes? As goes Carey Price, as goes your Montreal Canadiens. That relationship continues. That'll do it on a big night for the Habs. They get to do it again immediately as they'll be taking on the Calgary Flames, in a Calgary Flames team that's gone through their own turmoil as of late. That's a 9 o'clock start, a nice early 9 o'clock start. I like a 9 o'clock start. I think my favorite start time's 8 o'clock, if you're asking, but 9 o'clock's okay by me. That's obviously in Cowtown. Allen will be the starter for that one. Markstrom, the former Vancouver Canucks goalie who departed to make the way for Thatcher Demko, he'll be starting for not your Calgary Flames, the Calgary Flames. Unless you are a Flames fan who listens to this for some reason. That'd be weird. But hey, you do you. All right, find me on Twitter at ZachDropsTweets, at the Montreal Bias is the Twitter feed for the podcast. This one, and of course, the big one, the big pod, the Montreal Bias, which in this busy schedule, Sean and I need to find a time to check back in on that. Let the transition of what has happened from Claude Julien over to the Dom Ducharme era settle in so that we can get a bigger picture opinion. But yeah, we'll probably be putting one of those together in the next couple weeks. So you obviously can look forward to that. Till then, lots of good stuff as always on rabbithabs.com. Be sure to check that out. Follow them on Twitter at rabbithabs. And we'll see you very soon. Habs, Flames, they go at it today. We'll talk to you on Friday. Till then, take care.